it kind of goes both ways. So if you have a, like, say, a traditional business, making sure you're working on your personal brand, because you do need that piece, like you were just saying. But then if you're more in the personal brand, so then what are your assets you're building as you're building that out? Because there's going to come a time where you're not going to want to have to show up or keep doing launches all of the time. So where are you putting your money that you're making? Because you're probably, I mean, if you're in that camp and you're going hard, that way you probably are making good money, but making sure you're putting that money to real assets that are going to continually give you passive cash flow, and continue that legacy piece so that you could walk away if you needed to. I think it's not a this or that, it's a both.
Are you looking for freedom? Freedom from the daily grind and hustle? Or just finding a way to live the life you always wanted? Then join us on the Investing for Freedom podcast. Our host, Mike Ayala, will help you discover new ways to find freedom with tips, insights, and interviews. You'll learn the exact systems he's used to travel the world and live his best life. True success and happiness are all about freedom. And here's your roadmap on how to find freedom on your own terms. Welcome to the Investing for Freedom podcast. Here's your host, Mike Ayala.
Thank you for joining me on the Investing for Freedom podcast. Today we have Kara Ayala on the show, a returning guest, probably the most featured guest ever. Actually, not even probably, she is. Today we're going to be getting into an interesting topic. And, you know, for us, we love to just kind of share our journey and real world experience, because outside of that, it's just theory. But we've been talking a lot about just building real businesses and legacy wealth and what that looks like. And I think this is just going to be an amazing conversation today. And there's nothing wrong with having a personal brand. In fact, I'm a huge advocate of it. There's nothing wrong with a coaching business. There's nothing wrong with, you know, being an influencer, having communities, any of that. In fact, we know a ton of very successful entrepreneurs in that. But I think a lot of people miss how much work actually goes into that. And so we're just going to do a deep dive today on our thoughts around this. So let's get into it.
So first of all, you know, this is something that we have been really talking about the last couple of weeks, just really what do we really want, and kind of like doing an examination of what we're building in our own personal lives. But for me, this is like came from a couple different perspectives of watching other people who have built maybe personal brands and done really well, maybe in the coaching world, which I love that you said it's not that there's something wrong with that. And like, we know so many successful people who have built coaching programs, but I think a lot of times there can be so much flash when it comes to that, and seeing somebody online and the influencers of this world, which is great. But I think that it can be perceived as that something that is easy, when really it takes a toll on you personally. I mean, this is going to be a really good conversation, because I want to go like 17 directions right now. But something that we've just been talking about within our own lives is like, what do we want to really build? And what can we pass down to our kids? And with the personal brands and the coaching businesses, you could build that up to something that you could pass down. And I think the benefits of building, maybe if you started out building a personal brand and maybe the influencer route, is you can pivot really easily. But I think that that's something that we've been noticing, is we're noticing these personal brands pivot to brick and mortar business or product-based businesses, and kind of circling back the other direction. And I think we cannot miss that there's something really valuable about maybe a brick and mortar business, or I want to say real business, because I'm not saying that it's like not a coaching isn't a real business, but real businesses that you can pass down. I think that has to be the priority, while also maintaining and having some kind of a personal brand.
Yeah. And I think there's a natural tendency in human nature, when things get hard, we want to pivot.
Yes.
And I mean, we've been talking a lot in our business about EOS and Traction. And, you know, one of the first things that Traction teaches you is like, there's the great book, The Big Leap, that talks about the glass ceilings, upper limits. EOS always talks about, you're hitting these ceilings. Yeah. And you do this in entrepreneurship, and it doesn't matter whether it's an online business, or as you're saying, a brick and mortar business, a service business, you're going to hit those in businesses, period. And I think the natural tendency is to want to shift to something easier. Like, we think that, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. And I've talked to a lot of, you know, contractors and entrepreneurs who want to go that path of building an online brand. And I wanted to say that kind of in the beginning, because I think it, again, it's human nature for us when things get hard and we go through a season, and this is a natural plateau in every business. I don't care if somebody listening, you know, is doing $500,000 in revenue or 1.5 or 5 or 10 or 100, you're going to hit a new ceiling. And I think we have to make the decision as a human, like, are we going to go through that ceiling? Are we going to restructure our business? Are we going to restructure the skill set that we have in order to break through that? And so it doesn't really matter whether it's, you know, an online business, you know, a big coaching business, speaking business, or brick and mortar. One of the challenges with the online businesses that I've seen, and, you know, the influencer or coach, like, it's really hard to scale that. Whereas, you know, in traditional businesses, it's still hard to scale, obviously, but it's a lot easier to replace that, because you're not, when you have a personal brand that is your business, like, you are that business. And, you know, we hear about this all the time. And one other point I want to make before we can go to your 17 different directions. But the thing that's interesting, when you look at the big names in, you know, the online space, whether it's, and I'm going to categorize this maybe three different ways. So Ed Mylett, Dan Martell, like, who's the other big guy that's blown up? The gym guy.
Hormozi.
These guys built real businesses. And forgive us for saying real, because I actually do believe that online businesses are real and coaching businesses are real. But these guys built businesses, and, like, let's talk about Ed Mylett. He had, like, a huge, legitimate, like, huge business. And then because he wants to give back and he wants to gain influence, he built a personal brand. Now, if you flip that, there's some people like, you know, let's talk about, like, Jenna Kutcher or Chris and Lori Harder or Amy Porterfield, where these guys built massive businesses with an online brand and a personal brand. But the odds of doing that are pretty slim. And I think that that's what so many people are chasing today, is how easy it is to get famous on YouTube and Instagram. And we're just going to build this big audience and email list. And it's actually pretty rare. It's not that it can't be done, but I think there's so many, as a percentage, there's probably hundreds of thousands of percent more people trying to chase that than there was 10 years ago, because it's like the flashy thing. And our, you know, our world is moving that direction, but I still think that the winning formula is building a traditional form of a business somehow and simultaneously building a personal brand.
Yeah, whether you know, start out with maybe that personal brand and then you buy, say, real estate or things like that to sustain your wealth, and that would be something that you could pass down. But I do think, like, when you are the face, it's really hard to remove, because if you're building everything on your business. And I think we've had so many friends who struggled with this, where it's like they can't step away. They can't step away from the online world. They can't step, you know, if they try to pull back in their business, there's effects in their business because they have become the face. And I think a lot of people are kind of trying to shift their business so that they're not the face and kind of pull that back. But I think it's so easy to fall into that. And I think it's really unhealthy as an individual to have that much pressure on you to have to show up, especially to the world, a certain way. And I think we've seen things with, like, Dave and Rachel Hollis, like, just getting a glimpse into all of their life and parts of their life that probably didn't need that much access. You know, there's, I think as humans, like, there's things of our lives that need to be private. Yes, we can share and we can show up authentically. And I think that that's amazing when people show up, but there's parts of your life that need to remain private and get to be private, because not everyone gets access to you in your regular life, right? Like, mm-hmm. when you have relationships with people, not everyone gets access to you. But then take it a step further. Why would the whole world get access to the most fragile parts of you or the most precious parts of your life? And so I think that that's where, to me, the mental health piece of it is, like, yes, you need, and I fully believe in a personal brand. I think you, in any kind of business that you have, having a personal brand, having some kind of social presence totally benefits your business. But it's like there's boundaries and there's things that you have in place to make sure that you are okay. Because in the end, you're never going to wake up at the end of your life and be like, I wish I would have showed up on social media more and shared more of my life. It's going to be more like, hey, I wish I would have built something that I could maybe pass down to my children, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And, you know, just thinking, even if you're the face of a purely online brand and, you know, you want to enter a new season. And that's one thing that, like, I'm becoming more and more aware of is, like, there's just different seasons, different businesses, different, you know, I ask the question a lot, like, if you look back 10 years ago, is your life better or worse than you could have imagined? And most people, and maybe it's just a circle of people that we talk to, but most people, I've rarely had somebody tell me it's worse. It's almost always it's better than you could have imagined 10 years ago. And when you look forward 10 years, you know, we're always like creating this vision and what our life is going to look like in 10 years. It's too far out. But the other side of that is, like, you know, if you are, you know, wanting to build a brand and you want to be the face and it's purely around you and you want to enter a new season, you want to have kids or you want to be with grandkids or you want to, you know, travel for a while or whatever, and your business is based on events and launches. And again, I'm not against any of that, but I just don't think it's as easy as people think it is from the outside looking in. It's a literal other business. And I think one of the real breakdowns, and I kind of already said this already, but every business is challenging. Everything is challenging and we just have to push through it. And the natural tendency is to just, like, sit back and be like, do I really want to put in the level of work that it's going to take to that, go to that next level? And, you know, maybe one of the things that we need to really consider as humans is, like, do we really want to push growth? Because with growth, you are going to hit another ceiling. BDR taught me this years ago, who was a consulting company that I worked with in the HVAC space. When you go through growth, your profitability is going to drop because you're investing in infrastructure and marketing and sales and team and, you know, more vehicles, whatever it is, whatever your business is. So as you invest in growth, your profitability drops because your overheads go up and your margins, your cost of goods sold are probably going to go up too because you're not going to be as efficient. But then what happens when you invest in that? Now you start to catch up on the revenue side, but you have to keep going because you get to a place where, because you dipped in net income, then you have to start climbing out of that and you can't stop. Because you have to get back up to the place that you were before, 13% net, 18% net, whatever it is. And what that means is you have to go to another growth trajectory and pretty soon you're going to hit another wall. That's just the patterns. And so, you know, if you're listening to this, and I've like thought about this myself too, I don't know that I'll ever be happy not growing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to come up against these walls where you have to, like, put more work in for a season, then you should probably just find a flat place. And by the way, we've talked to entrepreneurs in the last 6 months that have been flat for a long time and they're not challenged in their business anymore. So what do they want to do? They want to sell it. This is the human element. And I think the, you know, just kind of tying this back to what we're talking about, it's like at the end of the day, and just even bringing it back to, like, the sexiness of building an online brand or influencer business or whatever. The problem with that is, like, even now you could just get canceled in a heartbeat. Yeah. Facebook shuts you down. Instagram shuts you down. Like,
YouTube.
Yeah. Your fans cancel you because you say something
that they don't agree with.
Yeah. It's like a very, very risky place to be. And again, I'm not against it. And I will be honest and say that, you know, I kind of went toward that too, because I was frustrated in my business and, you know, had some things going on. I'm actually in the middle of buying out my partner. But if you go back like 4 years ago, like, I was at this place where I'd kind of lost my vision for the business. And what's the natural thing to do? Well, I knew I wanted to build a personal brand. So we start working on all of that. But then what naturally happens is you just go all in on that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It's not that easy. And even if it was that easy, it's just another business. By the way, Kara and I are doing an epic trip to Cabo San Lucas with 7 couples. And we would love to invite you. If you're enjoying this episode, we're going to be doing a lot more of conversations around this. We would love to have you there. Why don't you tell a little bit about the trip?
We are going to be there for 3 nights. We love to keep it pretty casual. We'll be doing some really fun adventures. There'll be play, relaxing time, and then just connection with each other and also connection with other couples who are at your same level. I think that's the hard thing with being in a relationship and also chasing your dreams, it's hard to find other couples that you can have these kinds of conversations with. So you will definitely be expanded in this container.
If you're interested, you can DM either one of us on Instagram the word marriage, and we'll get you some information. Or you can text the word marriage to 480-531-7519.
Well, and it's kind of examining, is that what you want? Because like you're saying, you know, once you go all in on that's your business, it's your personal brand, there's no, what do you fall back on if you do get, I would rather build a business that doesn't rely on my personal brand, but my personal brand enhances my business. Because like you said, and I don't, people can cancel me all day long. Like I could care less if I get canceled because I don't rely on that money coming in from my personal brand. My personal brand is just connected to my business. It just enhances it. It's not the main thing. So I think when you're thinking about it, it's like, do you want to have, because I feel like that you become you're a slave to other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. You're a slave to what other people want you to be doing in the online space, or that way of the way you're speaking, the way you're talking, your beliefs. And then you're having to form and conform to other people's opinions because your livelihood is on the line.
Yeah. And if you think about it from a marketing perspective, and again, I want to make this really clear, we're advocates of building personal brands. So it's not like sometimes when I'm hearing a conversation like this, it's kind of like, oh, are they like, you know, frustrated or personal? No, I love building a personal brand. And actually, I think you need to today in any, I've actually said this to a few of my clients, like if you don't want to build a personal brand, like you need to somehow develop a face of your business. I was actually talking to my dad who still has a plumbing and HVAC company. And if you think back to marketing, like the traditional marketing was billboards, radio, TV. But even if you go back to like ads on car dealerships, when you had the crazy car dealer that had like the cowboy hat and he was like this, I'm talking back like 20 years ago, and it just blew up, right? Because he was this character.
Yep.
And the reason why those ads work is because nobody wants to watch every single car ad on TV is exactly the same. It's a picture of a car dealership. It's a bunch of cars that we've all seen before with flashes of numbers popping up. You're in a pool of other ads that are competing. Whereas like what I was telling my dad is like, hey, if you really want to get good at marketing today, like you need to be the face of the business. And if you're not going to be the face of the business, somebody should be, because people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so I'm a huge fan of online presence and building a brand. So I wanted to just clear the air on that. And, you know, podcasts and video production, you know, just even sitting here today, Tim is sitting in the background and it's like, we spend a ton of time talking about all of this because in this day and age, that is the reach. So I'm not in any way saying, we're not in any way saying that you shouldn't do this. But if this is your core business, then what do you have?
Yeah, I think just not falling into the trap that's it, right? So it kind of goes both ways. So if you have a traditional business, making sure you're working on your personal brand because you do need that piece, like you were just saying. But then if you're more in the personal brand, so then what are your assets you're building as you're building that out? Because there's going to come a time where you're not going to want to have to show up or keep doing launches all of the time. So where are you putting your money that you're making? Because you're probably, I mean, if you're in that camp and you're going hard, that way you probably are making good money, but making sure you're putting that money to real assets that are going to continually give you passive cash flow, and continue that legacy piece so that you could walk away if you needed to. I think it's not a this or that, it's a both. And then just determining which one you fall in. If you are more of the, say, personal brand person, thinking in the future, okay, what does it look like if I do want to get out of this? And having a game plan, even if you don't ever get out of whatever you're doing, maybe you do it the rest of your life because you love it, but you have almost an escape plan to go to in case something does happen or you change your mind and you don't, you know, like you said, you have kids or grandkids or you're just tired of showing your face online. And then the opposite also with the businesses is making sure that you do have that personal brand because it does enhance it. So I don't think it's either choose this or this. I think it's a both, but then balancing it and knowing what you're getting into. And like you said earlier, it can seem so sexy to get into this world, this like influencer world, when actually I think it destroys probably more people than it actually lifts. And I think we see some of the people that it's lifting up. But the conversations that I've had behind the scenes with a lot of people is that they're burnt out. They get burnt out and they don't want to show up all the time. So I think it's just really being cautious when you're stepping into that. I was working with a client a couple years ago, and she has an amazing, amazing business. And she was wanting to get into coaching. And I'm like, why do you want to get into coaching? But it was because that's all you see online. Yeah. And she wants to help people. And she's actually really great. And I'm like, pour it all into your business, coach your employees, coach your businesses that you're launching. And I think she has, like, I don't know, 17 businesses that she's there. It's a franchise, but it's so cool to see that, because she's actually walking in her gifting. She thought she needed to open a coaching business, but that would have just distracted her from actually building the true wealth that is going to actually propel her future and her kids' future. And she's also getting to do the things like coaching that she wanted to do.
Yeah. It's interesting, because I think, again, just as you were saying, like, you can't shut it off.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the challenging things. And it is the natural tendency, because, you know, I think entrepreneurs are probably more prone to this, but so many people have helped me and guided me and mentored me that you want to give back. But even like what you were saying, like, I've just realized that, you know, I can get a one-on-one coaching client for, you know, 20 grand in 6 months or whatever. If I put that same level of energy into, you know, my core team members and don't get distracted by having 5 or 10 clients a week. And it's so, I've done this even again recently. And I'm just like, man, if I would just take that amount of energy and put it into 4 or 5 key employees, or even go find more employees, like, mm-hmm. it'd be so much better. And if you think about this, like, the reason why people get burnt out is because we go through seasons where there is no balance. Like, you're going to find, you know, and trying to find a balance is great, but the reality is the market dictates it, and things that are so beyond your control, financing. I mean, there's so many people right now in the real estate business that were killing it 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and now they're really struggling.
Yep.
And it's because of external forces. And even if you can try to predict and, you know, have a crystal ball and see what's going to happen out there, you can never time it properly. But at least in a brick and mortar business, if you're burnt out, then it's really on your shoulders to go find somebody, you know, team members and mentor them. But it's really hard when you are like the face of a face only business to stop. You can't turn it off. It's not possible.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think, you know, just even, I think we're going to see a lot. I don't think we have seen the repercussions of the way that we do social media. I mean, our kids are going to be the first generation that really sees what this looks like. But even, you know, all these YouTubers that have had their families on, you know, display, what are those kids going to be thinking? And I think we won't see the effects of that for maybe 5 to 10 years. But I think we're starting to see the effects of what that is, and just what it feels like to put your whole life out on there. And then at the same time, having to put on a facade, because nobody, I mean, some people share their bad days as well, but most people are sharing all the good things. So they're putting on a little bit of a facade because they're trying to attract the right customer, right? And then some of them share some of them go extreme and share everything, you know, share the things that the world doesn't really need to know. And that's just not healthy. So I think, you know, just as you're journeying through this, just taking account to what do you really want, and looking to the future of like, what is your future self going to be thankful for that you did today?
There's that saying that we talk about a lot, like, if your business isn't helping you achieve your personal goals, you just own a job. And that's really, you know, one of the challenges. And if you just sum it up, I mean, everybody's looking for, you know, passive income, wealth, like, diversity of assets, however people want to say it. And the reality is, like, if your core business is you turning on a camera, and I'm, again, there's people that we know that do it, love it, make a lot of money, have teams built out. But at the end of the day, like, if I want to turn it off, I want to, you know, I want to just be able to turn it off. And I was thinking about this. We have a friend, Sean Cannell, that has a company called Think Media. And he had Patrick Bet-David speak at his event. And somebody made a comment. They actually were slamming Sean Cannell because they said, hey, Think Media is supposed to be the company that helps young, newer content creators. And he's like, Sean's bringing in all these like experienced people that have, you know, millions of dollars to invest in their brand. And I saw that comment and I was like, this is so interesting. And it made me think about this from a couple perspectives. Number one, it was one of the best talks I've ever heard Patrick Bet David give. And what he was talking about, circling back to what you were saying, is like part of his like 5-part process on successful content creation is getting lucky. He actually put it in the 5th, like you get lucky. Mm-hmm. And he made this comment. He said, you know, people think that he's an overnight success because he just came out of nowhere the last couple of years. And Alex Hormozi said the same, like everybody has said the same thing. You talk to Chris and Lori, like Lori's been, you know, doing content in her podcast for like what, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, where'd this lady come from? It's not easy. And that guy's comment about, you know, you're bringing in all these really successful people that have the money, and then, and you're leaving us like, you know, new content creators behind. It just showed the psychology in it because, you know, Think Media has millions of followers on their channels and they're doing a great job. But when you have that level of people that are trying to get into becoming content creators, which again, I'm not against, but if you think that that's going to be your only business, tying it back to Patrick Bet David, part of that is getting lucky. And what he said was, you know, what we, in their cycle, he was actually talking about, we'll create content for 1.5, 2 years, and we get it out there, we see what works, we do more of that, we pause, we regroup, and then we focus on what was working. And he was going through this whole cycle, but he said, every once in a while, you'll get lucky, and then you have to just repeat the cycle. And there's so much luck involved in it, but time as well. And I think that whether it's building a brick and mortar business, this is the same problem, by the way, with real estate investing. Everybody's like, oh man, this person, you know, just has this huge portfolio and they did it overnight. No, they didn't. Like they've been building infrastructure and systems and the team. And so whether you want to be an online creator or a brick and mortar business, like it's not easy.
Yeah.
But there is no easy. Going to work and climbing the, you know, corporate ladder is not easy. Being successful is not easy. So, you know, just pick your heart.
Yeah. And you're so right. Like it's just putting in the work. And if you did get, you know, like you said, if you did get lucky and have this overnight success, it would probably crumble because you need a foundation of like a person who built that and could handle the pressure of whatever building, however high your building is, you need a foundation to be able to sustain that. So I think, you know, that's the payment that you pay to have true success. Does Pat, what's his name? Patrick Bet David? Mm-hmm. I never say his name right. Did he have any other business or is he only a content creator? I don't know.
So actually this was interesting too, because he has like 30,000 real estate, or excuse me, 30,000 insurance agents.
Okay.
Working. So he owns a huge, like one of the largest insurance companies in the world. And that's been his business for like the last 25, 30 years. But he was telling this story. He realized that the fastest way for him to grow his in, so I think he had 1,200 insurance agents or something in like 2011. And I'm not going to get the dates right, but he had like, which is still a huge company.
Yeah, huge.
But he started doing content in 2011. And he was saying that he realized then that by building his personal brand, he could attract more insurance agents. And he was actually telling this story where there was some, you know, some of his executive team was actually having, you know, water cooler conversations about, you know, how he wanted to go off and be a movie star. That's how they were like talking about him. And he's like, no, you guys don't get it. And so the reason why he never talked about his insurance agency is because he wanted them to understand that, hey, I'm not doing this because I want to go do that. Like I'm doing it to feed the insurance agency, but he's always kept them. He intentionally kept it separate. And this is a great like learning lesson, I think, for us too, because, you know, I think a lot of times we think that if I want to have, you know, a mobile home park company like we do, I have to be the mobile home park guy. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. And the thing that Patrick Bet David said is, and I agree with this, he didn't want to be the insurance guy. He wanted to be like from a, you know, a business perspective, just kind of like a holistic thing. And I, even when we sold our business in 2014, when I say it was the best and worst day of my life, it's because we exited a business and made pretty good money, but then you kind of lose your purpose. And the problem with, and I don't think there's a right or wrong in this, but I think we just have to acknowledge it. Cause back then I didn't have any online presence at all, but I was Mike, the plumbing guy. Like I was Plumline. And then my personal identity was wrapped up in that. Like everybody knew me as the plumber kid, right? So I think you have to be careful pigeonholing yourself too, because just like we were talking about with seasons, you're probably going to have seasons in your life where you want to go do something else. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to build your personal brand or a brand period to support the business, just be careful tying it completely to around an avatar in a business too. Because if you decide to shift, you're in the same boat as the online person. Mm-hmm. Because if their whole business is events and podcast and coaching and they want to pivot, they can't. Mm-hmm. And if your entire brand is Mike the Plumber and you want to pivot, you also can't.
Yeah, that's so good. I didn't really realize he had like other businesses, but that's the way to do it, in my opinion, because he could not show up online the rest of his life, because I'm sure, I don't know what it's grown to now, his insurance companies, but I'm sure it's grown so much by him doing that, that he could shut off his personal brand if he didn't want to show up anymore. So I think that it's just balancing like building your business with your personal brand, but making sure that it's just like feeding into the thing that's giving you money.
You know, Ken McElroy says all the time that sales solves everything. And it's interesting even watching Ken. He's a great example, right? Because, you know, he's built it. He's bought over $3 billion worth of real estate. I think right now he owns like $1.5 billion. But he pivoted and started building a personal brand. He doesn't need to.
Nope.
It's not because he wants to be famous. I mean, Ken has plenty of friends and people following him everywhere without a personal brand. And so I think it's very powerful, but also like, I think we just have to keep it in the right place because it's really easy to just get out of balance either way.
Yeah. This has been a fun conversation.
Yeah. I like it.
Well, if you guys enjoyed this and you have any good takeaways, just tag us both on Instagram and share it with somebody who you think could benefit from this conversation.
If you found value in this episode and you know someone who's wanting to start or move further along in their journey toward investing for freedom, I would be forever grateful if you would share this show with them and help me get this message out to more listeners. Also, if you enjoy what you've heard, I would appreciate it if you'd take 30 seconds and leave me a 5-star review and share this with your friends. And until the next episode, cheers to moving further along in your journey of investing for freedom.